So let's move on now and talk about CLL. There's a lot happening. Anne Lacasse and Bruce Chesson were our faculty for that session. And one of the things that we began was just trying to sort out upfront therapy, which has gotten really complex in the last year. So maybe you can talk a little bit about, from your point of view, it really seemed like it started particularly at ASH, kind of where were you prior to ASH in terms of upfront therapy? What happened after ASH, and then did anything change at ASCO?
So ASH 2018 was a pivotal moment for CLL. You know, the previous paradigm had been that if somebody was young and fit and had an unmutated phenotype, we would think about FCR. For older patients or unfit patients, we would think about BR or ibrutinib monotherapy as frontline strategies, you know. And if somebody had 17P, you know, we would use an ibrutinib regimen. What changed at ASH was the head-to-head comparison in both older and younger patients between chemoimmunotherapy versus ibrutinib. So going first to the younger population, what Tate Chanafelt had shown was that FCR versus ibrutinib and rituximab in younger patients, so these are people with a median age of around 57, that ibrutinib rituximab had improved progression-free survival, improved toxicity profile, which you would expect, and also a suggestion of perhaps improved overall survival for all comers. And then the other thing that was interesting in that study is that the ibrutinib rituximab worked in both mutated and unmutated phenotypes, and I think really puts FCR into a very small box of patients where you might consider that. And that would only be after, in my opinion, a lot of discussion about the risks and benefits of FCR.
Before you go on there, because when we talked about that with Anne and Bruce, so first of all, I thought that when they broke it out, actually, I mean, I don't know if it was valid statistically, but they couldn't show an advantage for ibrutinib for the mutated patients.
Yeah, it worked in both mutated and unmutated patients, but FCR still had an advantage, at least in the mutated phenotype.
Because, you know, again, we asked the audience, and the most common answer when we said the patient's 60, mutated, del17p53 negative, of course, most common answer was still FCR, and Anne Lacasse said she's still using FCR. So I guess not everybody's buying into that. I guess the allure has always been for that particular subset, the hope that you could treat and then be done. But of course, that may be happening with novel agents soon too.
Right. I think what this study did for me, I mean, I still consider FCR for that particular patient, the younger patient with the mutated phenotype who understands the risks and benefits. What this study did was basically say that FCR is not the only option, you know, even for that patient, and that ibrutinib rituximab, even though it's indefinite and it's got its own potential long-term side effects, has this advantage, you know, for the overall population. And the thing about FCR is that it's a problematic regimen. I don't know that people really need all six cycles, for example. Maybe they only need four. I still have patients who are on IVIG 2 and 3 years later that it affects their quality of life. So I still think FCR has a role, but it's a much more complicated discussion and a longer discussion in my mind right now. And it really has to be the young, motivated patient who wants a limited duration therapy and is willing to accept the potential short-term and long-term risks.
Yeah, I've heard other investigators bring out the thought that maybe you shouldn't like push that hard to get the six cycles in if they're really having a problem. You said you've seen people 2 or 3 years later getting IVIG.
Yeah.
But what about 10 years, 15 years later? Or do you have patients like that?
I do have patients that are 10 years out and, you know, close to 15 years out now. They do eventually, I think, get better. But I mean, I guess in my mind right now, I'm still thinking of, you know, a man who's in his late 40s who is 3-4 years out still needing it. Probably by 10 years, I hope he's okay, but certainly have quite a few patients that did need IVIG in the first few years.